So we continue on our journey. We're working through the book of Acts. We come to the sixth chapter. Hear God's word for us today. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Yep. So the 12 gathered all the disciples and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." Friends, will you pray with me? Gracious God, we simply ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be measured and found acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Committees. Every time a young seminarian or a person who's feeling a call from God into ministry comes to me and says, "Pastor, what is one thing you need to know about being a pastor?" And I said, "Committees. You're going to be going to a lot of committee meetings. Meetings after meetings after meetings. So much so that I would tell them that you'll have death by meeting." Right? So many committees, so little time. And they will know we are Christians because we are the ones who go to meetings. And I suppose that there are folks who are reluctant to get involved with the church because they feel that once they sign up for something, before they know it, they're going to be asked to be on a committee. Lois is shaking her head back there like, "Lord have mercy, I came to this church. You all were so nice for about 6 months and now I'm on every committee under the sun." Now, don't get me wrong, the church needs administration. The church needs policy and procedures. It needs people to help make things happen. And the early church, the first church, the Acts church, seems to know this. For the scripture we saw today was the moment when the church formed its first committee. I don't know if you caught that in that text, but that story is the story of the very first church committee. So church committees are right there in the scripture. But it's important to take note of what the very first committee was that the new church formed. The first committee was the missions committee. The very first committee that the early church decided it needed to form was a missions committee. Did you catch that? They needed to figure out how they could make sure that the widows were getting food. So they created a committee to help figure out how that would happen. The first committee of the first church was the missions committee. And it seems like the infrastructure of the early church, all of its meetings, all of its committees, all of its officers, all of its agencies, all of its time and energy was added to order and help the church to be in mission, to figure out how are the widows in our midst going to be taken care of. It's my hope that all of the work we do here, no matter what committee is formed and no matter what committee we work on, at the end of the day, the ultimate question is, how does our work here in this moment put us in mission? Every conversation about money, every conversation about building, every conversation about hospitality in one way or another ought to be asking the question, how does this work put us in mission? Why a missions committee? Why does the early church begin its definition by bringing together a group of people to help them figure out how to be in mission? Because when a church is in mission, it puts itself smack dab in the heart of God. You can't miss that. If you read the scripture from cover to cover, you will discover exactly where God's heart is. And if you want to be a church that is after the heart of God, then you're a church that's in mission. It is all over the scripture. That's why we're here this morning, isn't it? I mean, it's why we're here every morning. Every Sunday we gather in this place and we wait to hear, what is God's heart? I just want to know God's heart, Pastor. Tell me what God's heart is about. What do I have to do in order to be a person who is after God's heart? What do I have to do to be a church that is after God's heart? That's why we're here. And I'm here this morning to tell you, God's heart is for widows and for orphans. You can't miss it if you read the scripture from cover to cover. It's who God says God is. God is a God who cares for the widows and the orphans. It's the very heart of who God is. And that's why the very first church formed its first committee. Not because they needed work to do, but because they wanted to be a church that was about God's business. They wanted to be a church that at its heart had God's heart in the center of it. Hear these scriptures from the Old and New Testament, from the Hebrew Bible and the Christian Testament about where God's heart is. Only the first one's going to be on the screen, but I want you to hear God's heart throughout scripture. And I only picked like four or five of the almost 50 or 60 different passages about God's heart. Right there in Exodus, reminds God's people, do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. Talks about God's character in Deuteronomy. It says, He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow. He loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. That He is God. God is the one. That is God's character. Look at this in Deuteronomy again. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns so that the Levites and the aliens and the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied. It's like bring all of your extra groceries, put them in the hallway of your church so that those in your community who don't have a chance to eat get a chance to eat. You're living Deuteronomy today. Your favorite book of the Bible, right? Everybody's memorized Deuteronomy. Right here, you're living it today. That in the hallway is this very thing. Bring your tithe into the church, put it in the narthex so that those who don't have enough food know where they can come to get it. You know, there's those folks who sign their name and they sometimes put a Bible verse at the end of it. You know, you've seen that, John 3:16. I found my new verse. Comes out of the book of James. This one comes up on the screen. It's James 1:27. If I were to get a tattoo, this is what I would get. Right here on the inside of my arm. Lauren Oswala just got a really cool new tattoo. You can see it, but she put the thing from Footprints right here that says when, what does it say, Lauren? The single set of footprints were the time that I carried you, a reminder tattooed into her very skin that God is the one who carried her. If I was to put a tattoo on, this is what I would have it say. It says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Pure religion is this, a religion that looks after widows and orphans. The church has been fighting for centuries about what true worship, what true religion is all about. You know, we've been in contemporary versus traditional worship wars in the church for 30 years. We've been talking about what is the best way to use our building. God says right here, it doesn't matter how you get there, but you got to get there. And true worship, true religion is this, one that cares for widows and for orphans. I don't care if you sing out of a hymnal or sing with a rock band or don't sing at all. As long as you get to the widows and the orphans, I count it as true religion. I want to tattoo that on the inside of my arm so that I never forget what God has called us to do. The first committee was a missions committee. Why orphans and widows? Well, in the first century world in particular, if you were a widow or an orphan, you were invisible. In the first century world, women needed a man in order to do anything in society. If you didn't have a husband, you didn't have any legal rights. You couldn't speak for yourself in public. You couldn't go to the grocery store in public. You couldn't do anything. So if you were married and suddenly your husband died, you were left without any access to the world around you. So it's the Christians that came along and said, the followers of Jesus who came along and said, it was the people of the covenant with God in the Old Testament that came along and said, we'll take care of the widows. The same with the fatherless, the orphans. If you were a child that didn't have parents, you were invisible. And it was the people of God that came along and said, that child is God's child, because that God is God's child, he's our child too. It's taking care of those who are most vulnerable and those who are most on the edge of society. That's what defines who we are. Contemporary connections. 18 million AIDS orphans in the world today. 18 million AIDS orphans. 18 million of them. Worldwide. Children who don't know where their next connection is going to come to. Methodist Children's Home, right here in Redford. Why do we stay connected to the Methodist Children's Home? Because they're orphans. People without parents. Elma Campbell now serves on the board of that organization representing this church because we want to be connected to where God's heart is, and God's heart is with the orphans. This last week, I met with the widow's support group. Did you know we have a widow's support group right here in this church? A group of women who, after their husband died, have come together around the table and made sure that they were going to be okay and that it was okay. One of the most important ministries we have in this church is one very few of us know anything about, and it's the widow's support group. I'm learning that widowers in our society, it's even tougher. I don't know about even tougher, but it's tough for men because, you know, we put kind of all of our emotional eggs in one basket. We kind of put them all in that significant other's basket when that significant other is gone. It's not like I call my buddies and say, hey, can we just get together for coffee and chat? You know, we don't do that. You know, we got to play cards or go bowling or something in order to have some sort of meaningful connection. And so I know men who have lost their partners sometimes wonder, does anybody remember me? And it's the church. It's the church that is supposed to be that place and about that kind of work in the world. There was a story once of a young boy who lived in a community who didn't know who his dad was. And so everybody in the community used to laugh at him. All the kids picked on him unmercilessly. That's Ben, little Ben. Ben doesn't know who his dad is. Oh, you're Ben. You're the kid who doesn't know who his dad is. Until one day, a man leaving church ran into little Ben. And he called little Ben over to him and he whispered in little Ben's ear, Ben, I know who your dad is. Ben said, how do you know who my dad is? Nobody knows who my dad is. I know who your dad is, Ben. You look just like him. You see, Ben, you're God's child. And that means you are never without a father. You're never an orphan. That little boy, Ben, said he never forgot that. And the first time he told that story publicly is when he was inaugurated as the governor of Tennessee. A little boy, when the difference was made in his life from a church that reminded him that he was not forgotten, set him on a path that changed his life and the life of many forever. Friends, you want to know where you'll find God's heart? We'll find it in mission. We'll find it in a church that is open and serving the poor among us, the poor in our world. And as that lady said to me on the phone today when I told her about our ministry to the trailer park, she said, "Pastor, you don't know what you just started." And I said, "I think I do. I think we started a love affair. A love affair with the very heart of God. I don't know where it's going to take us, friends, but I very much look forward to the journey that we're going to be on together. Because I don't know about you, but I want to be where God's heart is. And God's heart is in mission. So let us be about the same."